The Sand Geeks. We are the Sand Geeks.
Hello, geeks. Welcome to episode 74 of the Sand Geeks podcast. Now, this podcast is proudly sponsored by Cajel Perfumes. You can go and check those guys out on their website and use the code GEEKS10 to get 10% off any of your purchases. They're great guys with some great fragrances. And so, yeah, go and check them out. And any purchases you make with that code does support the podcast, so we'd really appreciate it. Anyway, I'm not alone. I am joined by not one, but two people this week. So we're spoiling you with the number of geeks that you're getting in your ears. As per usual, I'm joined by Chris from the channel Fragmental. Chris, how are you?
I'm very well, Steve, thanks. Yeah, of course, I am the other geek. But so as well as two geeks, we've also added a weirdo into the mix tonight.
We have indeed. So Chris has been desperate to use that line and he managed to get it in. So we are joined by an Instagram sensation, otherwise known as Fragrance_Weirdo. And he is... he's going to love me saying this. He's such a massive influencer. He just influences people left, right, and center through the format.
How did we book this guy, Steve?
I mean,
we had to pay him loads
of money because he just doesn't do anything unless he's getting paid. That's the main thing with this guy. But I mean, all jokes aside, welcome to the podcast, Dan from the Instagram page Fragrance_Weirdo. Dan, how are you?
Thank you very much for that introduction, and I'm glad we were finally able to make this happen. You know, my people said that your people reached out, and
we had to line some pockets, we had to grease a few monkeys on that one. It was
a deal was hammered out.
Dan, I've got to say, when you came up with your name for Instagram, did you expect that you would be known as Fragrance_Weirdo, or did you just want to be known as Fragrance Weirdo?
You're going to answer that one for me, Steve.
I was going to answer it. I was going to, like, I want people to know, like, his fragrance handle, so I should have just said
just taking the piss out of Steve.
Yeah, obviously. It's like, do you remember that one? Who was the guy that read out, like, the http://, and did the full website address? Yeah. But I just wanted everybody to know your Instagram handle. But yeah, obviously, it's the Fragrance Weirdo. How long have you been on Instagram, Dan?
It's a great question. I actually don't know. Maybe, like, 3 or 4 years I've been doing this.
And you've got like nearly 15,000 followers now.
Over 15,000.
Really? I just checked and it was saying 14,800.
Oh, really? How disappointing. I can see it says 15.1 to me, but not that I'm splitting hairs. Oh my goodness, it does. That's weird.
Oh, well, I mean, the data's incorrect somewhere, but I'm going to go with Dan. I think Dan's probably got the most accurate information since it's his account.
Yeah, but then I only wanted somebody on the podcast that had over 15,000 subscribers, so it's a bit awkward, isn't it? But no, I believe you.
Oh no, should we stop?
Fact check. At the time of recording, on the 13th of June 2021, the Instagram account Fragrance_Weirdo has 15,100 followers. let's just say 15,000 followers anyway. Yeah. 15,000 followers.
15,000 followers. Yeah. did you, when you started your Instagram account, Dan? Did you hope to sort of reach that level, did you think you ever would?
No. I didn't really expect anything from it. What it was a few years ago, I was into collecting like micro brand watches, which was a sort of previous hobby. I kind of got bored of that one. But I used to take photos of them a lot and post them on my personal Instagram account. And I had a few people say, "Why do you keep posting pictures of watches, man? This is stupid," in that accent. And so I set up a separate account for them. And I got bored of it. And then I started getting into fragrances, so started posting pictures of fragrances. I mean, just renamed the account and that was it. There was never any intention to do anything other than post the odd picture of a fragrance and my thoughts on it.
And does the weirdo refer to the fact that you think it's maybe slightly weird to have a niche hobby like collecting smelling fragrances?
Yes. And
do you think it is weird? Is it weird?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty weird. It's pretty unusual. I mean, most normal people, I use the word advisedly, but most people who aren't sort of into fragrances sort of think it is kind of weird to have like a collection of hundreds and hundreds of perfumes and to sort of spend most of your time obsessing about them, writing about them, reading, thinking. It's just it's unusual, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a passion, isn't it? And I, you know what, I've come to the point in life where I applaud anyone who has a passion in life, whatever that may be, however weird or wonderful or small or niche. I think it adds a great dimension to a person if they can speak about something passionately, because I've met plenty of people who don't have a passion. They just go to work every day and they just come home and they make the tea and they watch TV and they don't have anything to speak passionately about in their lives. And I think that's really sad. So whatever it is, whether it's stamps, perfumes, watches, I applaud anyone who has a passion. And if that's weird, I don't know. I think it's more weird if people don't have a passion, to be honest.
Well, I think there's definitely something in that. And I think we are, you know, not to sound overly philosophical, but I think as humans, we tend to be collectors of something. And I think anyone you talk to probably has something in there that they spend their time and energy fascinating about. And I do remember having a conversation with a friend from school about perfume and thinking, oh God, he's not going to understand this at all. But, you know, I jumped in and I sort of tried to explain it. And he explained to me that he'd recently got into collecting glass bottles from charity shops, just like different designs of glass bottles, and this was now his thing, and he had a collection of kind of 40 or 50 different glass bottles. Hadn't cost him a lot, but he just enjoyed the aesthetic of them. I think that's pretty cool. So yeah, wherever you find your passion, you know, just happens that fragrances were mine.
Yeah,
well, it is a weird hobby to get into, but I think like you say, as long as you're not hurt, because obviously there's a lot of, we've spoken before about different Reddit forums where they take the piss out of fragrance enthusiasts and YouTubers, etc. But at the end of the day, if you're not hurting anybody, if you can afford it, you're not kind of, you know, starving yourself or getting in debt or whatever, then, you know, enjoy it. Like you say, as long as you're not hurting anybody, where's the harm? So you just got into it just naturally, and obviously your Instagram page has grown dramatically to the point where you are, like, I took the piss, but as much as you dislike the term, you are an influencer now, which I know you hate, so that's why I kept saying it. But that's the thing. So how do you balance, like, being... Because if anybody's listening, they may remember a few weeks ago that I actually read one of your reviews out on your Instagram page, which was for Cartier's Oud & Musk, which you basically, in short, you said smelled like a pissy tramp that had been covered in talc.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that your reviews are so honest, but how do you kind of balance that now with kind of... Do you just put whatever out there, you don't care, or do you have to consider the fact that you've got all these followers? And
it's a tough job, actually. And I know the whole kind of social media influencer thing is kind of riddled with people shilling for brands and doing it for money and stuff. I think there's a couple of things. First of all, I don't get paid at all. Like, literally nobody pays me to do this stuff. There is what you would consider a payment in kind, in the sense that some brands send me stuff for free to review. And the policy I sort of take is, I will always write a truthful review. And if the review is really bad, and the company has gifted it to me, then I will speak to them first and say, this is the review I'm going to publish. You can have that review published, or, you know, if you really don't like it, I can choose to say nothing. But what I can't do is write a false review. And there is a reason for that. And it does sound a bit like, I'm trying to sort of have my cake and eat it with the honesty thing. But particularly when you're talking about very small brands, and a lot of perfume brands are very small startup brands, it feels very unfair for me to sort of punch down in that sort of sense. With 15,000 followers, a lot of these brands are starting out, have 200 or 300 followers. Someone, you know, with a reasonably popular page can create a lot of negative press for a company if they're not careful. And I've no desire to do that. That said, I'm perfectly happy, if I've paid my money for it, I'm perfectly happy to absolutely, take the piss out of a particular fragrance.
Say it smells like a pissy tramp that's covered in in talc.
Yeah,
and that smells good to me. I'd like to try that.
Well, I mean, it is definitely a niche, I think, pissy tramps. But some companies. The idea is, I think, don't punch down, right? Don't attack small brands who are trying to make a start of things. I'll never write a puff review in the sense that I'll never write a lie or say I like something when I don't, but I won't deliberately destroy a brand that's starting out, because it just seems nasty to me.
Yeah, and it's not a case of not being fully truthful. Whatever you're doing on your social media account, whatever you're saying, you're always honest and you're always truthful. You can, however, make the decision to not talk about certain things for the reasons that you've just gone into. And I don't think, some people say, as people who talk about products, that they want the balance, they want the good and the bad. And I think to a certain extent you can do that. But like you say, it's really difficult to go too far into the bad, because you do wield a little bit of power and influence. And if that can make or break a small brand trying to get going just because maybe they're not to your taste, then yeah, I think it's the right thing to do, because I operate in a similar way. I think it's the right thing to do to sort of just look at the situation and think, right, it's probably better not to talk about my feelings about this particular brand. So I get it. I think you have to be conscious of that. You can't just give the people what they want because that's what they want. It's your account. You can do whatever you want with it. No, there's no rules. No one's told you what to do. You're not a professional Instagrammer or reviewer or anything like that. You can make the decision. So I'm with you on that one as well. And I think probably Steve thinks in a similar way.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've said this before, I think, when Nigel at Two Cents Worth was interviewing me, one of my biggest, not annoyances or frustrations with Fragcom is I'd like to see negative reviews. That's not true. I'd like to see passionate reviews. I think the worst reviews are like, yeah, it's all right. And some, unfortunately, there's a lot of fragrances that just are, yeah, they're all right, smell all right, they're fine. I like reviews that are either, like, people love and they get really enthusiastic. And again, I guess you were talking about passion earlier, Chris, but it's like when people get really passionate about something because they love it, or I like to see when people get quite passionate because they hate it, like, or if they, you know, if something really bothers them, because it's just I think people as humans like to see emotion either one way or the other. When people are nonchalant or ambivalent, it's kind of like, well, yeah, it's just not that entertaining for me. So I like to see a good mix of negative and positive, as long as there's passion.
I personally feel like I've never really had an extremely negative opinion on a fragrance. Yeah, there are some fragrances that I think, oh no, leans a bit too feminine, it's not really for me. But I've never, other than maybe Secretions Magnifique, I've never smelled anything that I've detested.
Really?
There are things that, aren't my thing and I wouldn't bother spending money on them. But
cue the fragrance weirdo.
So that's, you know, I feel like I've not ever smelled anything that has repulsed me, but I guess some people do.
Yeah, I'm
my first question, Dan. I mean, there was a fragrance that you mentioned in a Facebook Live that you did a few weeks ago. Name a few fragrances that you are probably your least favourite fragrances. Is there any that come off your head?
So there's a few that I really don't like. Thierry Mugler's Crypto Mint, personally, I find that stomach churning. It's like chocolate toothpaste. It's the thing that should not be. So I hate that one. there's also, and this is a very unpopular opinion in the sort of fragrance community, but there's a particular type of musk that just I hate it, it physically makes me recoil, and it's present in quite a few of the Sospiro, you know, the Zirjoff Sospiro range, so particularly Herba Pura, if you know that one. It smells like a really angry fruit salad. It's really unpleasant, and that same musk appears in the what's the name of it? Is it Auto Parisi range, which is the same guy from Nasamato as the Auto Parisi range, and there's one in particular called Bergamask, I think, which is basically
Matt absolutely fucking loves that fragrance.
Yes, he does. He does. You're talking about Matt Keane there. Yeah. Exactly. It's really popular, and that's why I said it's an unpopular opinion. Bergamask is okay. Well, so the thing about Bergamask and the thing about these musks that are in them, I think they smell okay at a distance. So, like, you know, when you catch it in the air, it's kind of nice. But up close, these musks are so synthetic and so kind of unpleasant that I just can't stand them. So, yeah, there's a whole range of sort of fragrances that I don't like. But then I don't tend to wear anything too sweet or anything too fruity. I'm a picky bastard, is what I am.
So, for example, you say that you find Crypto Mint stomach churning. Mm. So you think to you that's a bad fragrance.
Yeah.
But obviously, a lot of people love that. I don't own it, so I'm not really sure how I feel about that. But I know a lot of people do talk very positively about it. So how do you feel about that? Do you think a lot of people out there love bad fragrances, or is it just people have different, you know, different likes and dislikes?
No, it's definitely different likes and dislikes. I mean, I agreed with you there, but I probably shouldn't have done. I wouldn't describe Crypto Mint as a bad fragrance. It's just something I don't like. It's like I don't know, K-pop or something, as like a sort of genre of music. It may have its own artistic merit. It's just not something for me. You know, it doesn't mean it is intrinsically bad. There are some fragrances, I think, which are just intrinsically bad, and they tend to be the mass market kind of really lazy fragrances that smell of nothing. I mean, actually, interestingly, one this week, I described the new Polo Cologne Intense as a bad fragrance. You know, it's not, you know, it smells okay. You know, it's not going to sort of repulse anyone. It doesn't churn your stomach, but it's just so staggeringly boring. I mean, it's
meh.
It's meh. Yeah. I mean, it's objectively cheap, naff and nasty. It's a straight pass for me, which is a shame given how seminal the original Polo was. I've got two like vintage ones, and I've got also a Polo Crest, which was released, I actually put it on Instagram yesterday, I think, but the Polo Crest was a sort of flanker to the original Polo. And it is much easier going, you know, less brutal than the original Polo. And frankly, they'd have been better re-releasing that than this absolute fucking turd of a fragrance.
And this is why we like your honesty. Was it because we caught up in the week sort of as a way to sort of plan what we were going to do or whatever, and just plan this evening's events. And was it a Polo fragrance that you said was one of your favourite cheapies when we caught up? I can't remember. You held one up, and I thought it might have been a Polo fragrance.
No, favorite. I'd say my my absolute favorite cheapie is Giorgio Beverly Hills for Men.
That's right.
You can
get
that for about 13 quid. You know, I know I've developed something of a reputation for being a bit of a niche snob in some cases. But honestly, for 13 quid, you can buy Giorgio Beverly Hills for Men in its present formulation, and it's absolutely amazing. You know, if I had no money at all, well, if I only had £13 to spend on perfume, and it had to be, you know, that's all you can spend, it's your budget for the next 6 months, I'd buy a bottle of that, no question at all.
Whilst we're on favourites, Dan, do you have one single favourite of all time?
I do. I have a single fragrance that I think stands above everything else. And I wear it very rarely, but it would be MDCI Invasion Barbar. I think it's Barbar.
Yeah,
It's a play on Invasion of the Barbarians, but it's a barber shop. So it's Invasion Barber, I guess. Yeah. Silly. It smells amazing. Yeah. That to me is just everything a perfume should be. It's kind of, it's simultaneously avant-garde whilst being very classic, and it sort of manages to straddle formal and casual. It's just perfect for every occasion. It really is. It's a shame it's kind of eye-wateringly expensive, really.
How much?
Yeah, I just went with the Dewar.
the Dewar one. God, no.
There's a question. We're asking about that in a minute.
How much does it sell for? Well, I have the one with the bust, which is you pay more for the one with the bust cap, which is like a bust of David or whatever it is. But I think that was about £300 for a 75ml bottle. But you do get, if you order from them directly, you do get 10, when you buy the bust version, you get 10 12ml samples. So you actually get 120ml of samples to go with your 75ml bottle of perfume, which is odd. It makes it worthwhile. But I use it sparingly. And you know, I do have a favourite, yes, but honestly, if the house was on fire and you said you can only take 5 fragrances, I would probably stand there and burn to death trying to figure out which ones to take, because it's impossible, you know.
We touched upon that. Chris mentioned Dewar there, and we had a few weeks ago, we've spoken about it a couple of times, but we've spoken about clones, inspirations, whatever you want to call it. Some listeners quite like them. We've had questions from listeners saying, like, can you talk about Alexandra and your favorites, which we did one time, and then we had another listener comment that we should never talk about like clones or inspirations because it's, you know, offensive, it ruins the industry, it's sacrilege or whatever. And we've sort of think they're part of the fragrance industry, so we should talk about it. How do you personally feel about clones, inspirations, etc.?
So I'm much more relaxed about them than I used to be. I certainly see the argument that, you know, these are just people riding on other people's coattails, and, you know, you don't have to do all the innovation and stuff, and, you know, why should you be able to do that? I totally get that point. But my counter is this, right? There is a reason there is a massive market for Creed Aventus dupes, and it is because Creed Aventus is systematically becoming more and more expensive and poorer quality. The brands themselves create the market by their pricing and quality for these clones. Now, I have a particular gripe with Dewar, and maybe it's just because we're in the UK, but I think the Dewar stuff actually works out when you pay your import fees and stuff. It works out more expensive than the bloody originals. Now, that's absurd, right? That said, I've had quite a few of the Alexandria ones, and they smell great, and, you know, they're a way to own a scent that you like for less money. But they wouldn't exist, there would not be a market for them, if the brands were not pricing, if the original brands were not pricing somewhat over the top.
And I think, are the brands actually losing out? Because the people who will spend £30 on a clone, are they really going to spend £300 on a fragrance? I think if you had £300 to blow on a fragrance, you probably would just be buying the original. So perhaps they're just appealing to different people.
I think that's probably true. They may appeal to different people, but what they also are is a sort of almost like a gateway. You know, you can sort of well imagine a lot of people get their hands on the clones and go, God, if this is this good, imagine how good the original must be.
I started with Perfume Parlor, and I thought, wow, I'm really smelling all these different scents here. And the ones that I really fell in love with, I then actually went to buy original bottles of. So the brands actually made money out of me when they wouldn't have done if I hadn't have smelled
you'd
the clones.
Never have discovered them because the price would have been too high a barrier for you to get into. So yeah, it's a way of getting into it. I'm sort of relaxed about them. I personally don't spend a lot of money on clones, because for me, owning the bottle and being able to take nice pictures of it and stick them on Instagram, that's just part of the collecting thing for me.
You've just got the generic bottle with a different label, it sort of takes the... But then, as we've touched upon as well, there's a lot of inspirations that are not sold as clones or marketed as clones, but they blatantly are. I mean, that I know that you got because of me, because I influenced you, because I'm that powerful, was Mercedes-Benz cologne, for example. I've mentioned a million times, but you actually really enjoy that. But that's a blatant take on Dior Homme cologne, obviously.
It is.
So there's lots of ones out there like that.
It absolutely is. I mean, particularly Aventus. I mean, Aventus has inspired a whole bunch of things. You know, tell me the difference. You know, if you can show me the difference between a Alexandria copy of Aventus and, you know, a bottle of Explorer. I forget who it's by. It's Mont Blanc, isn't it?
Mont Blanc.
Yeah. I mean, if someone can genuinely tell me that there's some sort of moral or ethical difference between those two things, I'd love to understand it. To me, they're exactly the same. They're just rip-offs of Aventus, and that's fine. Mm. Aventus created that market by being so pissed thin and overpriced these days.
Yeah. It's funny you should bring that up, actually, because I've just filmed a video about comparing three different batches of Aventus. One from 2011.
Yeah.
I won't say who supplied me with that.
No, because it was me.
And, I didn't know if you wanted me to say. So Dan very kindly supplied me with a couple of mil of 11Z01, which I was very, very thankful for because it's hard to get hold of. And then I have a 2016 bottle. Mm. And then I bought... from Fragrance Samples UK, a recent formulation which was 2020. So I've done a video comparing these, and I sort of, at the end of the video, I just recommend to people to get a sample of current formulation Aventus, get a sample of Mont Blanc Explorer, and see if Aventus is worth the extra money, and if not, just get Explorer and make that decision. Because really, based on the current formulation of Aventus, there's not really a lot of difference in quality that I can tell.
No, absolutely. And if, you know, just to prove that I'm not obsessively loyal to any one given house, you know, I told you MDCI's Invasion Barber was my favourite. They've got one which is basically an Aventus dupe. I think it's called Blue Satin or something like that. You know, that is basically even thinner and more expensive than Aventus. You know, the Aventus kind of sub market is—it's a whole kind of. It's a whole subculture of Aventus stuff. But yeah, you know, there is a term, by the way, for the a person who compares and contrasts different batches.
Is it?
It's a batch wanker.
Well, I'm being a massive batch wanker in my next YouTube video then.
Yeah, there you go, Chris. There's your thumbnail and video title.
It's just batch wanker,
yeah. across the image of you.
Yeah.
That's it. That's happening.
Shall we
just take a little break from questioning Dan and see if there's any shout outs or admin or whatever we're going to call this section now? As we've we've had numerous
podmin.
Complaints, internal and external, that people don't like the phrase podmin. My wife being one of them, Dan being another. In fact, it turns out Chris and I don't like it either. So fuck knows why we've been using it for so long.
We both thought each other invented the phrase. So I thought Steve was precious about it. So I didn't want to suggest we change it. He's saying that I invented it. He's probably right. So he thought I didn't want to change it. So I think we'll lose it, won't we?
Fact check. It would appear the first use of the term podmin was in episode 9 of the Scent Geeks podcast when this happened.
Well, I need to Shall back,
we
so, yeah.
talk about who's bought us a coffee this week?
Yes, let's do the admin or podmin.
Yeah, I don't know what we call this section. This is basically the audience interaction section, whatever the fuck we want to call that in a nice snappy way.
That's
so,
a catchy name, I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so normally we have coffees where people just buy us a coffee. We don't have any this week because people just didn't want to buy us a coffee. But has there been any reviews, Chris?
So selfish.
Yes, we have a 5-star review, Steve.
Oh, lovely.
Do you want to read it out?
Is it from Fragrance _ Weirdo?
No.
No, it's
that was
definitely
a 1-star
not.
Review. I've skipped past that one.
Go on then.
Right, okay, here we go. The title of this one is Keep It Up. Perfume / fragrance podcasts tend to have a short life cycle. It's great to be able to keep up on the industry with a podcast. This podcast is blended well, diffusive, and hopefully will have great longevity. Almost sounds like a perfume. So thank you very much for your lovely review. That has come from the USA. So
awesome, thank you.
Our one and only review. Or the one and only review that we see. I'm not convinced that the way I find these reviews actually shows me all the reviews, because I feel like there should be you know, a balance. I'm not saying 5-star reviews. I'm saying I feel like there should be, you know, more reviews. But anyway, maybe not. So well, there we go. That's all the pod. The
audience interaction.
Oh,
audience interaction
it.
Engagement.
Say Podmin.
We need to come up with something else for that. I tell you what we have been doing. I've not got it prepped, so I'm going to kind of type as I talk. We did do a little discussion a few weeks ago about replacing Aventus as the king and what we would replace. I saw in our fragrance group, Dan, that you actually commented and said, "Oh, it's a fucking load of shit," or whatever. There isn't a king. I think it was.
Say that? That seems.
I'm paraphrasing you, but you basically said you're normally so jolly. I don't think you would say something like that. But yeah, you said, "Oh, there isn't such a thing. It's just some mass marketed thing that's mass appealing," or whatever. I think it was basically. But anyway, we had a few people suggest some things. I put a shout out to say, "Okay, what would you think would replace Aventus as the king?" And we've had a bit of a finalist, so I counted some comments and some likes and things. And the finalists that people sort of narrowed them down to were Bulgari's Le Gem Tiger, Dior Homme Parfum, Terre d'Hermes, Parfum de Marly Leighton, and Bleu de Chanel de EDP. And loads of people in the Facebook group have been voting. And the winner is Bleu de Chanel EDP. So, I mean, it's hard to get excited because that is not the most innovative, exciting fragrance. And I think that was your point, actually, Dan, that anything that's going to be the king isn't going to be some crazy, weird, innovative, wonderful, amazing fragrance as such, because it's just going to be super safe, super versatile, super mass appealing, and that's exactly what Bleu de Chanel EDP is. But I mean, my favourite fragrance is Parfum de Marly Leighton, but I actually voted for Bleu de Chanel EDP because it is just, you could just wear
it. I love it. I really enjoy it.
Anytime, yeah. Anywhere, any occasion, you haven't got to think about it at all. So,
it's a perfectly nice fragrance, but weirdly, I was thinking about this question the other day, and I think that eventually Aventus will be replaced as you know, the most kind of seminal sort of scent profile, because it's not just Aventus, it's like the whole market has now just got that birch pineapple kind of fruity thing going on, and I think the big trend that will stick is these sort of metallic notes, which personally I'm not in love with, but you get them very clearly in the new H24 by Hermes. Yeah. And I think, actually, there's a load of people hating on that fragrance right now, but I think people will look back at that as a sort of, as a classic. I think that's a future classic waiting to happen. Haven't bought it, don't even particularly like it, but I think there's just something about that style that signifies a sort of shift in the market. And I think that's, you know, that's big business in time to come, I think.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah. Sorry,
I was gonna
Steve,
say, I've literally got that on the back of my hand. I've got sent loads of samples from Kevin at Merseyscents, and I've been sort of rummaging through. I've been sort of treating myself every now and again to, I'll try something new. And I sprayed it early on today, and I just sort of resprayed it before we started recording. And so today was the first time smelling it. And so I've literally got it on my hand right now. And it is, I like it. It's not super exciting, doesn't blow me away, but it's, I can see the point that you're making. It's, I think there's something in this, not only just metallic, this kind of, I guess it's the same thing, but simple done well, So like Bulgari's Legem Tiger, I've said numerous times, it's just ambroxan and grapefruit. It's not particularly complex, but it's just very well blended, very smooth, very effective. It just does really well. And I think there's something in that. I always, one that you posted recently, Dan, Bergamot 22 by Lalabo. I think I commented on your Instagram post that, again, this is not a really weird, complex fragrance as such, but it's just very, quite simple, but done really well and very effective. So
it is. I think
there's something in that.
It is, although I didn't like it. I was sort of bored of it. I mean, I like the smell and everything, but I mean, it's a really expensive fragrance for what it is. And
totally.
And you could literally throw a rock in a in a perfume store and hit half a dozen fragrances that smell almost identical to it. It's just got that kind of sunshine bergamot sort of thing happening. You could buy I think there's a Ferrari one which costs about £5 that does pretty well the same thing. So yeah, it was okay. But anyway, I don't know how I got onto that. Oh yeah, I do know how. You mentioned it.
So talking about that is a section that we normally do on the podcast every week, is kind of what you've been wearing. So who wants to go first? Chris, do you want to go first to give Dan a break?
In?
Yeah, do you want to say what you've been wearing?
Yeah, well, so I'm going to start with a fragrance that actually fits in with what Dan was saying before about meh fragrances that are really underwhelming and you sort of question their existence. Now, as I said, I didn't hate this, and it wasn't stomach churning, it's not repulsive, but I was questioning why does it exist. So it's the new Jean-Paul Gaultier Le Male On Board. And on first spray, when I sprayed it, I thought, okay, that smells quite nice. It's reminded me of Eau Fraiche a little bit. And then as it dried down, it just became such a thin, lackluster, uninteresting fragrance. There's just nothing distinctive about it. When you've got fragrances like Eau Fraiche out there and you know, some of the other Le Male flankers that are more popular. So yeah, I found it okay on my first impressions, but I've been wearing it a bit now over the last couple of weeks, and yeah, I'm finding I'm quite underwhelmed with that. I'm a little bit disappointed. I've also been wearing a couple from Jacques Fat, Velour Boisé, which is a nice sort of whiskey sandalwood fragrance, and also Curacao Bay from Jacques Fat, which is a nice take on a marine aquatic, but done in not a generic way. It's sort of a bit coconutty, so I've got a bit of a sun lotion vibe, and there's some marine saltiness in there, so I found that really likeable. I've worn Galloway from Parfum de Mali. As I mentioned, I've been trying several different versions of Aventus, and today I was going to a barbecue in a sunny garden at my brother-in-law's house, nice and relaxed, so I just put on Roger Parfum's Burlington 1819, and it went down a trip for me. Anyway, no one mentioned it, but I loved it. I've really enjoyed it. So that's me. That's my week.
The compliments.
If it is the world of YouTube, you'd be like, I got like 12 compliments.
Yeah. They were all in your head,
isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think they all wanted to compliment me, but they just didn't have the confidence.
Oh, that
to
counts.
Do it. So
that
I'm
counts,
gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah, that counts. Yeah.
Basically, however many people there were at the barbecue was how many compliments you got in the world
exactly.
of YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
fine. Dan, what have you been wearing?
So I've had quite a mixed week this week. So I wore the new Viking cologne, which is...
Oh, no, you've been loving the sample I saw, so you got a bottle finally.
Yeah, I really like it. And Viking actually was one of those perfumes that I immediately dismissed when it first came out. I, you know, like all sort of Creed fanboys, kind of ran... to the store, take my money please, and I hated it, but then I sort of went back to it sometime later on, and it's really grown on me. The cologne, I think, does kind of perfect that fragrance though, because it takes out some of the heaviness at the top and replaces it with some much more enjoyable citrus sort of notes. I'm actually get a vintage bottle of Idol, the Luban fragrance, it's an Eau de Toilette version, but it's still really, really good. It is basically the inspiration for Bentley for Men Intense. So if you know that one, kind of boozy sort of number, but it's much more rugged and kind of dynamic fragrance. Really nice. Couple of others worth mentioning. Another vintage one is an Enrico Caveri one, which I wore to go get my vaccination on. I had my second jab, showing my age there on Thursday. And yeah, I mean, in my head, certainly at least a dozen compliments. You know, in actuality, zero. So just want to call out a couple of, well, a good and a bad though. So I mentioned the cologne, Polo Cologne Intense. I just want to mention it again, really, because of how shit it is. I think it you know, this is just a tragedy of a perfume. It's a missed opportunity by Ralph Lauren. So there's that. And something else which I've not yet posted, but which I'm actually wearing now is one called Miles by a brand called Detail. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it. But this is actually kind of very not my standard kind of fare. It's actually quite sweet and quite fruity, but somehow pretty masculine and fresh at the same time. It's really, really nice. And this, along with a couple of others, I got from the Perfume Playground. And I feel like, without being paid for it, I should mention that they're running a 10% off until Father's Day, I think, if you use Play10. But I definitely would recommend the Detail Miles. It's absolutely lovely. So that'll be getting a review this week on my Instagram.
Great. Excellent. Yeah, I'm glad you like Viking Cologne, because I enjoyed it as well. And it's interesting what you said about the original Viking, because I come across so many people who say that that fragrance was a grower. It wasn't an initial, I love it, but it's grown on people. It did. I mean, I quite liked it initially, but it's definitely grown on me to become one of my favourites. And a lot of people seem to say the same thing. What do you think it is about that fragrance that grows on people? Because it just seems to happen a lot.
I honestly don't know. I think, like a lot of Creed fragrances, there is a complexity to it that is not necessarily immediately obvious. I think the same can be said for one of my other favourite Creeds, which, in fact, probably my favourite Creed, which is Royal Mayfair.
Beautiful.
I absolutely love it. I mean, the first time I smelt that, I was like, oh my God, that smells like mothballs. It smells like it's got that naphthalene kind of vibe going on. But actually, it's an incredible fragrance. There's a sort of eucalyptus, and there's a bit of rose in the background and a bit of mint. It is the ultimate hot weather fragrance, I'd say.
Yeah, you could be a bit taken aback by Royal Mayfair because it is so different, but I think it just takes a bit of time sometimes to process complexity, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the same with Viking. You know, there is actually a lot more going on than just the initial kind of blast of pepper that you get. Yeah, it's that Creed kind of hidden layers of depth.
Yeah, well, maybe they know what they're doing.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
Before I kind of say what I've been wearing, there's nothing too exciting, but we talk about growers. Is there any fragrances that you've just gone off? Perhaps your nose has developed, matured, or whatever they want to say, or you've just worn it to death and you just get sick of it. There's quite a few that I like love, and then I end up selling on, actually. Not because I hate them all of a sudden. It's just like I've worn it, I've done it, I don't need it anymore, I've got something good. Is there any... Got a question to both of you. Dan, do you want to go first?
Sure. I mean, there's no obvious ones that I'd say I've really gone off, but over time I have kind of moved away from quite sweet fragrances. So I know you mentioned Leighton earlier. I mean, Leighton is a demonstrably good perfume, and it smells really nice, but I will just not wear it because I find Leighton, along with most kind of very vanilla centric fragrances, just too sweet for me, and it doesn't suit my my personality, which is anything but sweet. I'm sure you'll agree.
You need to wear something bitter, cold, kind of quite harsh.
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just to go with your personality.
Perhaps the H24 from Hermes, and maybe that's a good match.
There we go. What about you, Chris? Yeah, is there anything that you've
Not really, but probably the only one I would say is Davidoff's Cool Water, because I wore that to death back in the day. And I've moved a little bit away from that sort of fragrance profile in terms of what I like. I think I probably do like things a little sweeter than that. I still love Cool Water for the feels it gives me, for the memories.
Reminiscence,
it takes me back to those times, you know, when I was 18 years old, you know, important definitive time in your life. But in terms of an actual fragrance profile that I enjoy going out to wear, you know, for how it smells, I've definitely moved away from the smell of that. But I'm quite aware, I think, that when I really love a fragrance, like I love Enigma from Roger Parfums, and I'm very aware that because I love it so much, that if I wore it as much as maybe I want to wear it, then I might grow to sort of, you know, move away from it. I might stop enjoying it as much as I do, because it's, you know, sometimes it's like a song that gets overplayed, isn't it? You can love it initially and you listen to it so many times that you get a bit bored and you move away from it. And I don't want that to happen with any of the fragrances that I really love. So I wouldn't say that since Cool Water back in the day that that's happened to me, but only because I'm quite conscious that I don't want that to happen. I don't want to stop loving the ones that I love.
So I wear them sparingly.
Yeah, pace them out, yeah. Sure.
I think that's the same with a lot of things, isn't it? Same with like food or whatever. It's like my brother always used to say that about like women, and also it'd be like, you know, I like steak, but if you have steak every day, sometimes you just want like a burger. It's just kind of like, yeah, his wife didn't have the same opinion on that one, but
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, no, it's a valid point. I think for me, like I say, it's not so much that I go off things. I just, you wear it too much and then you just think I need to kind of change it up a bit. But it's interesting because the three of us have got very different tastes, actually, because I quite like, I wouldn't say super sweet. If anything's too sickly sweet, I don't like it. But I do like vanillas. I do like some sort of sweetness to it. I find it quite appealing and snuggly. Stuff that I've been wearing this week, I mentioned a couple already. I've actually worn Le Labo's equivalent from Alexandra. So I've worn Sparkling Bergamot. I mentioned this on the podcast before. I actually wore that today. And that was after I saw your post, Dan. That kind of inspired me because you're such an influencer. I've been wearing another one I mentioned the other week, which is becoming one of my favourite cheapies of all time. It's Xenia's Womo. I absolutely love it. I got that bottle for like 19, 20 quid tops. I've literally done over half the bottle. Absolutely love it. I think it's a great fragrance. Someone commented on my post today on Instagram saying that I actually discovered this because of you. And since getting that fragrance, it's made me recognise and appreciate the note of violet leaf. So it's quite nice when you smell a fragrance and it helps you kind of appreciate other fragrances, or maybe helps you recognize a particular note. Anyway, H24, as I said, I've just sort of smelt that recently thanks to Merseyscents. Kevin, he sent me a sample.
Freshly ironed laundry, that one. H24.
Yes. Yeah.
You can even smell the metal of the heat of the iron.
There you go. It's quite a good. I get a subtle metallic note to it, but I do get that sort of sweetness. Interestingly, I like it because my reservations were is I'm in general not a big vetiver fan. I like it. I like it when it's quite a nice clean vetiver that's sort of just as part of the fragrance. But if the vetiver's too earthy or too full on and heavy, I'm not a big fan. It's not that I dislike it, but that was my reservation. But it's not really. I really quite like it. I think it's really quite a pleasant fragrance. Not exciting at all. But CK All I wore yesterday, which was a blast from the past. Totally forgot I owned that one. But probably my highlight of the week, my surprise of the week, is a fragrance that I forgot I owned, was Bulgari's Man Extreme. I totally forgot I owned it. Saw it at the back of my shelf, reached for it, and really enjoy it. It's got a lovely cactus note to it, which is a really nice change. You wear these summer fresh fragrances, and they're normally like bergamot or you know, anything like orangey, mandarin or whatever, but that's actually got cactus in there, and that really makes a nice change. So that, I've really enjoyed that. It was a really nice, fresh, manly fragrance. So that was probably my highlight of the week, to be honest, as such. So there we go.
Great. Cool. Well, can I jump back in with a question for Dan?
Of course you can.
So Dan, mm-hmm. What do you think an influencer is, and do you think you are one?
You promised me no difficult questions. I don't know what. I think we have this sort of vague understanding of an influencer as being somebody who can kind of essentially make or move a market for a product through their relationship with their followers. I don't regard myself as an influencer. I think, firstly, I don't think I am, big enough in inverted commas. I'm not multi-platform either, so I'm very much just like this. I stick some photos on Instagram, right, and I post some the odd review. I do post on.
I'd love to see you doing some perfume related TikTok dances, yeah, Dan. If you start a TikTok,
I think that's probably coming soon. Yeah.
Oh, great.
I'm not multi-platform, and I'm not big enough. And also, I think influencers really. If you are a proper influencer, it's probably a business model in some sense, and for me it absolutely is not. And that's not to be critical of anyone who does that, but for me, literally it's just something I do in my spare time. That's all it is.
Do you think you are a reviewer?
Everyone's entitled to call themselves a reviewer, I guess. If you've got an opinion, then you're a reviewer. I mean, it's up to readers to decide whether they give a shit about what I write, but I don't sort of write reviews specifically to gain followers or to tell people things that I think they need to hear. I like perfumes. I like talking about them. I like taking photos and writing reviews. It's that simple, really. And if I influence Steve along the way,
all the better for it. Yeah. I think a lot of people would say this as well. That I'm equally as uncomfortable with the term influencer. I don't think it sounds very nice. And also reviewer. All the people, particularly on YouTube, that go online to talk about their opinions on fragrances, we're called reviewers, and I'm almost sort of not comfortable with that either. YouTube doesn't call YouTubers don't get called influencers or reviewers. They call us creators. So we're YouTubers or creators, and I feel like I enjoy creating videos for my YouTube channel, and yes, that's mostly sharing my opinions on fragrances, but I would say I'm a creator, and because it's a passion, I love, as much as I love the fragrances, I have a passion for creating. So it is a, but you can't deny that perhaps when we have thousands of followers that we are in some way influencing people, and obviously brands feel the same way because we're lucky enough to get sent things. It is a difficult thing, and I hate the term influencer.
Sounds cynical, doesn't it? Influencer. Yeah. It sounds like you're trying to get people to do something that they wouldn't want to do, through some sort of manipulation, and that's not what it is at all. If by telling people about something I like, then they go out and discover that they like it too, then happy days. But I don't set out to try and get people to buy things. And actually, you say YouTube refers to people as creators. I think on my Instagram profile, I describe myself as an imbecile and a fragrance enthusiast. And I am just that. I'm a fragrance enthusiast, no more really.
Yeah, and it's up to people what labels they impose upon us, that we have no control over that.
Yep.
It's funny because I had a comment recently on one of my videos saying, it's actually the review I did for Le Nuit de l'Homme, Le Parfum version, which is George, the Fragrance Apprentice, absolutely loved it. I was totally underwhelmed by it. I don't know, it's one of those things. And somebody commented, this is just proof that he knows fuck all, basically, this is the comment on my video. And I sort of just replied and said, but I know that it's subjective, and this is just merely my opinion. Because that's the thing, I've never ever claimed that I'm an expert, because I'm not an expert. All I am is somebody that's got an interest in fragrances and perfumes, and I've got the time, confidence and initiative to put that opinion out on YouTube. I've never claimed, the only advantage I've got over maybe some other people is that I've smelt more fragrances, so I've got more reference points, maybe, but there's a lot of people that smell infinitely more than me. So that's the thing, it's kind of, people assume that just because you do these sort of things that you're claiming to be like an expert, but I'm certainly not, and you two aren't not claiming to be either. It's like you say, you're just sharing your passion, really. I think I would definitely say, in my mind, Dan, like, you are an influencer, but I don't I wouldn't sell you as an influencer. It's for me, you do your thing, and same with you, Chris, and the byproduct is that you influence people. Like I say, people say influencer as if that's your goal and you're aiming to change people's opinions and manipulate them into doing something. I don't think so. I think, like, Dan, you do your thing, you do some honest reviews, you've got 15,000 people, so naturally some of those people are going to be influenced along the way to try something, not try something, buy something, not buy something. So, you know, so I think it is almost like a byproduct.
I mean, I've been influenced by wafts from the loft. You know, you just see Dan's initial reaction to a fragrance he likes and I'm sold. I'm like, I've got to smell this.
Yeah.
But they would be the last people that would claim that they have any influence.
Well, they are fantastic. So Dan and Joe, the Wafts from the Loft guy, Wafts from the Loft guys, are just brilliant, great. Reviewers who are so knowledgeable about their subject. But actually, in terms of influencing, I don't think I would try and influence people to buy things anyway. If anyone asked me, I would only ever offer my opinion on a perfume and probably suggest they buy a sample, you know, rather than go and spend a lot of money. So given that I'm not really commercially trying to convert anybody into buying some product, then no, I don't think I am an influencer, despite what Steve says.
Yeah, you are. Who was the last? What was the last time you were influenced? Then, Dan, was it probably somebody in the fragrance groups or whatever? Mr. Christian or someone. But when was the last time you were influenced?
I don't know. So I in terms of me being influenced, it's I don't tend to watch a lot of YouTube videos and stuff. Just don't really have enough time in my life. It's not that I'm ideologically opposed to them or anything, but Christian Callahan, who everybody in any of the perfume fragrance groups in the UK will know, he does tend to influence me somewhat. I think the last time he influenced me was Thomas Cosmala 04, Après L'Amour or something. It's basically one of those big molecule type synth fragrances. It's insanely strong. Oh no, better still, Armani Cure Majeste, which was one of his influences. That is absolutely phenomenal, and I don't think I would have even bothered looking at it if it hadn't been for Christian going on about how good it was.
Christian's going to be buzzing because like whenever he gets mentioned in this podcast, he's been mentioned a couple of times before, he normally messages me going, yes, another mention. So I'm sure I'll get a message from him because I mentioned his first impressions, which was one of my favourite first impressions of all time, when he dropped like 300, 350 or whatever on one of the Bulgari Legem fragrances, and his first words out of his mouth were, oh fucking hell. It's just too much leather in it. He just blind bought that and just dropped that one on it, and it was like, oh fucking hell. It was just my favourite first impressions ever.
Interestingly, he is, I would say, one of the most influential people in the fragrance community, if you like, he has very little social media presence outside of the Facebook community groups, but he's a proper enthusiast who really, really knows what he's talking about. Absolute legend.
Yeah, and I guess his outlet for that passion is Facebook, whereas, you know, some of us choose other platforms. I know you're on Facebook a lot, Dan, but obviously you've chosen to post on Instagram as well, which I'm very glad about, because I just want to mention about your account. I think it's one of the best fragrance accounts on Instagram, and you can see how much work, I know how much work it takes, and to post pictures and to post descriptions of those pictures takes time. And, you know, your photographs, which are, you know, one of the best things about your account, you can tell that a lot of time and thought and preparation has gone into those. You can tell you have an interest in photography. If I'm scrolling up my feed, I know what a fragrance weirdo picture is before I even read who's posted it. So you've got sort of your own style, which is great, I think. And I don't know if you've gone out of your way to develop your own style or not, but I think you definitely have that. So you've developed this interest in photography. I'm not sure if, I think you said you had that before your Fragrance Weirdo account, but because you love photography, would you ever consider, if you ever stopped Fragrance Weirdo, or if you ever maybe started up a new account just purely based on, you know, not being restricted to photograph fragrance bottles, would you like to go out there and photograph people or nature? Because I think you have a skill with photography, so is that something that interests you?
Well, it's very kind of you to say so. Funnily enough, I've decided that I want to try and start doing some street photography. So I've just got a
brilliant.
So I shoot most of my stuff using an 85mm lens, which is a little bit unwieldy for street photography. So I've just ordered a 35mm prime lens and gonna go and have a mooch around Manchester and see if I can get any decent shots.
Oh, I thought I must have known it was coming. I could tell there was a passion there for the camera. So I'm glad you're doing that, because I think it'll be great.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing that.
I mean, we're going on for time. To be honest, I could sit here just catching up and chatting
for
you guys. It's been really interesting. But I mean, people always moan that the podcast is too short, which is kind of nice. But like, Dan, thanks for coming on board. Is there anything that you want to say, get off your chest, use this format at all to shout out, I don't know, a house, a fragrance, or just say anything in general, why we've kind of got you, but we've not maybe asked, or you hoped we might ask you, I don't know.
So obviously I've got a large number of sponsorship deals here, and I'm required under the commercial arrangements to detail all of there's nothing. Thanks for having me, guys. It's nice to just be able to shoot the shit with some people who are interested in the same thing as me. What's absolutely mad about this is that it's being recorded and someone else will find it interesting, hopefully, to listen to. But frankly, you know, I'd have enjoyed just an hour's conversation with you guys, even if no one was listening.
Aww, yeah, that's sort of the thing behind this podcast as well. Steve and I would just normally be catching up each week about fragrances in the fragrance community, so we thought, let's do a podcast to record that for perhaps other people who might be interested. So yeah, that's exactly it. It's just a chat between people who are passionate about something. And so thanks for coming on, Dan. It's been great to chat to you. Guys, if you're not following Fragrance_Weirdo, that catchy name, on Instagram, please go along and let's get him over 15,000. He's just under at the moment. So
honestly.
Let's get him. Anyway, go and follow him if you're not already. You'll see some wonderful pictures and some witty repartee.
Thank you very much.
And if you keep an eye out for his new upcoming street photography page, we'll probably be taking photos of pissy tramps just to go that could sport Cartier fragrances. So there we go. Chris, do you want to say anything before I sign off?
Well, I'll just mention quickly how to enter our sponsors giveaway. So you just need to go along to Kajal Perfume's Instagram account, find the picture that says the Scent Geek's actually written onto the picture, repost that, tag Kajal in there, and you're in it to win it. You can either win a full bottle of fragrance or you can win a discovery kit. So if you're interested in free stuff, just go along and do that. Other than that, thanks for listening and have a week, geeks.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Dan, the Fragrance Weirdo, or Fragrance_Weirdo, if you like to pronounce someone's full Instagram handle. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Do keep the... we've not done a scent story or anything this week because we're running late, but do send those in. Any kind of lovely scent stories, fragrance memories, fragrance fails, we want to hear those. Other than that, we will see you next week for another exciting episode of The Scent Geeks. Have a week.